The message this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they, Mary and Joseph, brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is a time of celebration, isn't it? It's a time we celebrate the birth of Jesus, this child who has been born to us, the one who has been promised to redeem all of Israel. Angels announced his birth. Shepherds went to the manger to see what had been promised. All who knew of the birth praised God for the gift of Jesus. And now we have these two new voices that come into the scene, a little bit after the birth, but still in an important time in the life of Jesus. Two new voices, two new celebrations, two new promises of who this child would be. Simeon and Anna, two voices of celebration and promise, voices moved by two different reasons, two different forces, but both knowing that God had given a gift to Israel, knowing that God had provided hope, knowing what was going on without really knowing what was going on. So the story is that Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to the temple as required by the law of Moses. Now, as part of the ritual of firstborn children, firstborn males in particular, the verse prior to this in verse 21 of chapter 2 of Luke shares that they circumcised Jesus according to the law and gave him his name. And gave him the name Jesus. And then after this time of purification for Mary, which would be somewhere around 40 days, they came to the temple to present Jesus to be dedicated to God. Now, I find that to be a little odd. Mary and Joseph know that Jesus is this one that has been anointed by God. This is the one who is God with us. This is the gift of God to Israel. They know this. God's already said, this is a holy child dedicated to me before the child has even been born. So why do they go to the temple to dedicate this child to God as holy? I'm not sure. Maybe to keep up appearances, or maybe because that's just who they were. They were good, pious Jews who followed the law of Moses. And that may be why God chose them, because of who they were. Regardless of the reasoning, Luke tells us that following the tradition of the time, they brought Jesus to be dedicated to God, and they brought with them their sacrifice. Now, Luke tells us that they brought two doves or two pigeons to come with them for their sacrifice. What Luke doesn't tell us is that the traditional sacrifice was supposed to be two sheep. But because people were poor, there's a loophole in the law that says, well, if you can't afford two sheep or two goat, then you can bring two pigeon or two turtle dove. What Luke is trying to tell us in this piece is that Mary and Joseph really are poor. They're not the rich and powerful of the kingdom. They're not the rich and the powerful of the empire. They are poor people who have come to do as they have been asked by God to do in the law, to dedicate their child and to sacrifice something of their own for the good of God. So they bring their offering, this little piece of doves or pigeons, and they bring their son. Now, Simeon has also come to the temple. Now, Simeon's come to the temple for a different reason. Simeon is a righteous man, according to Luke. Not a special guy, necessarily, just righteous. And he has the Holy Spirit upon him. He has been told ahead of time that he will not die until he has seen the Messiah. And he comes to the temple at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, not really sure why he's there, just the Spirit said, okay, go, this is it, it's time to move. He's been pushed that way. He doesn't know why he's going, but he goes because the Spirit has possessed him. And he was following God's Spirit to do what God asked him to do. So there he finds the family, and there the Spirit opens his eyes and says, this is it. This is who you have been waiting for. And so Simeon picks him up and praises God and says, this is the child of the promise. He speaks words of hope and words of warning to Mary. He spoke to the crowds gathered, to those who would listen to the ramblings of an old man, one that seemed to be possessed by the Spirit. Actually, he was possessed by the Spirit, so that's okay. He speaks. The Spirit prods him. He gives words of hope, and he gives words of challenge. Simeon's words of celebration are words that offer salvation to the people, not only of Israel, but of the Gentiles, that Christ will be this light to all people for the glory of Israel. But he also gives dire warning to Mary. This is the child who will be opposed, who will bring out the worst in people as well as the best in people. And you too will have a sword that will pierce your soul. The foreshadow of events in the gospel might give us pause. That's what Simeon's doing here. He's saying, this is what's going to happen. Luke is sharing that through Simeon. Jesus is going to be opposed. He's going to bring some issues, and you are going to have your soul pierced, because in the end, Jesus is going to have his hands and his side pierced. There's another voice, though, that is in the temple. Now, it's a voice that we don't necessarily hear, but it's a voice that we know spoke. The soundless voice of the prophet Anna, a woman of great age, of great devotion, of great wisdom, and she speaks as well. Now, I want to take a sidebar here just a moment, because I think there's some important pieces to know about what happens in Luke's gospel as we go forward. Luke is one of the best writers in including women in his gospel. If you read through Luke's gospel, the women are an important piece of what happens in the ministry of Jesus, eventually even funding the ministry of the disciples and of Jesus. But after the first opening pieces of Luke's gospel, where Mary and Elizabeth have large speaking parts, you very, very rarely hear a woman speak in Luke's gospel. So while we have the prophet Anna, we don't have her voice. But we don't have her words. And while we don't know exactly what she said, we know that she praised God, that she celebrated the gift of Jesus. She told everyone that she could find in the temple that this was the promised one. And she too said words and sang songs of hope and gave praise. And she gave thanksgiving to God. Thanks to God for the gift of Jesus. She raised her voice in praise, and hers is a voice of sharing for all who could hear. So when we consider these voices of celebration, and we think about our own voice, our own voices, which should also be celebrating, what is it that we should be saying? What is it that we need to be celebrating and saying about this birth? I think our voices should be shouting about thanks to God, giving thanks to God for the gift of Jesus, the gift of the promise of hope. It should be like Simeon's. But most of all, it should carry from our lips to the ears of those who need it the most. One of the points of the story that I think gets missed sometimes is that Jesus is recognized by those who are on the margins, recognized by the poor, an aged woman, a righteous man of little means, a family so destitute that they have to bring doves for their sacrifice, shepherds in the field working at night. It is for the least of these that Jesus has come. It is among the least of these that Jesus is recognized. It is to the least of these that we need to share the gifts of good news. These are the ears that need to hear what's going on, this word of hope that God loves us, that God has offered a gift of salvation for all of us, each and every one of us. To hear the good news of salvation to all people, not just the righteous, not just the rich and the powerful or the chosen ones of Israel, but to each and every one of us. I think it's important that Simeon's praise included not only Israel, but also the Gentiles, those who were not part of the chosen few. This is what we celebrate. This is what we share. We give words of hope to the rich and to the poor, to the righteous and to the unrighteous, to the chosen people and the Gentile masses, men and women, the ones with voices and the ones without. And so we celebrate. We give thanks, we lift up our voice, and we praise God for the gift of Christ. We speak of hope. Hope in a child. Hope in a poor family. Hope in the midst of hopelessness. Hope for a world gone quite insane. Let us go and tell the world, shout it from the mountaintops to the street corners, that Jesus has come to save. Amen. And now may God bless and keep you. May his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with confidence and give you peace. Amen.